Morning. Thank you, Todd, and thank each of you for being involved in our opening this morning. What a blessing to be able to sing together, to have a song in our hearts. And I do hope that it's your desire that the Lord will be adored and magnified throughout eternity and right now as well. I hope that is the desire of your heart. I'm asking you to begin this morning in your Bible in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. 2 weeks ago, when I spoke on Sunday morning, we began this study entitled, Don't Be Afraid. Don't be afraid. And we did. I might as well go ahead and put Underdog back up there. You might remember him. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you saw him up there. If you ever watched TV when you were a kid, you probably saw him. Some of you were adults even in Underdog's day. But, you know, Underdog, of course, an underdog is actually a competitor who is expected to lose in a contest. So anytime you have a contest, there's always the team that's expected to win. And sometimes the team that's not expected to win is not necessarily considered an underdog because they're so closely matched. But sometimes you would never dream that a certain team's going to win. We find that happening now. If you keep up with March Madness at all, the NCAA basketball championship tournament, occasionally one of the teams that are not expected to win will come out with a great victory over a team who was assumed that they would win. Now, as Todd said, there's a game today. There are actually several games today involving local schools even. And I will say this. Now, some Carolina fans will say I'm not a true Carolina fan. Because when I get to the NCAA, I'm going to be honest with you, I cheer for all the ACC teams. I do. Now, if they're playing Carolina, you know who I cheer for. But now, some people say they wouldn't cheer for Duke no matter who they were playing. But I wouldn't do that. And somebody brought and they left me some basketballs and footballs with Duke and Carolina up here. And I put the Carolina one on top. But I'm going to cheer for Duke this afternoon. But, you know, neither one of them are underdogs at this point. But there may come that time when they will be the underdog. But underdogs saying, if you remember from 2 weeks ago, or when you watched the show, when he would arrive on the scene, he would say, never fear, underdog is here. Now you think that's a little bit strange when you really start thinking about it. Why would you not have fear because an underdog had shown up? Well, underdog, see, he in his normal life, I don't really believe this, I know it's just a cartoon, but in his normal life, he was just a little shoeshine boy or a shoeshine dog, I guess you want to call him. So it was very unexpected that if the evil villain was attacking, that somehow this little shoeshine boy would turn into a great superhero and come and rescue everyone. He was the underdog, but he would say, never fear, underdog is here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And that's our challenge as those who live in the 21st century and those who live in a world of economic upheaval, a world of leaking radiation, a world of earthquakes and tsunamis, a world of ruthless dictators, a world of uncertainties with our own health. A world in which things are changing so quickly that often we're not sure what to expect next. And that's not to mention just all the things that are going on in our lives individually, in relationships, and in jobs, and in a variety of circumstances. There are, we would say, a lot of reasons to be afraid. You can go through the scripture and you can find many times when the Lord tells us to not be afraid. And that's what we're going to be looking at. But if you look at those contexts and other contexts, you find that the reason that the Lord was saying don't be afraid was because it was very natural for someone to be afraid, to fear. Look with me, if you will. We're not going to expound this passage this morning, but just as we begin in Isaiah chapter 41, and if you'll go down to the 8th verse, and you see that here, the specific narrative, or the what is being specifically spoken, is being directed at the nation of Israel, the people of God in the Old Covenant. And listen to what God says to them, and we can find an application to ourselves. "But you, Israel, are my servant, a Jacob whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from as farthest regions and said to you, 'You are my servant, I have chosen you and have not cast you away.' Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, 'Fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob. You men of Israel, I will help you,' says the Lord, 'and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it." Underdog says, "Never fear, I am here." And whether or not you would be encouraged to see a dog in a cape show up, the reality of who God is, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord, your Redeemer, the one who has created all things that are and ever will be, the Lord Himself says to those who know Him, those who are His people, "Don't be afraid, for I am here. I am here." And those who were chosen are those who have recognized their need, not of themselves, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have had a true and understandable and rightful fear of God, who is holy, and recognizing that God, who is holy, has the right and in His character the responsibility to deal with sin justly, and have recognized that we do have no hope before God. But because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Righteous One, who knew no sin, has taken our place at Calvary and has died for us and has been our sin bearer and has been raised back to life, then we have confidence because of faith in Him that we have eternal life. And we need not fear the wrath of God, because it no longer abides upon the child of God. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. And we have peace, and we have joy, and we have the assurance that God is with us. And when the Lord says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God," we find great encouragement. And that is my encouragement to you today, as it was 2 weeks ago, as we think of this whole idea of fear. And yes, fear is a very relevant issue. It affects different people to different levels of impact on their lives. Some people have what's called phobophobia, We could say, in simple terms, that's the fear of being afraid. Fear of developing a phobia. A phobia which is often seen as an unexaggerated and unreasonable fear can consume some people's lives. But whether you would say, I have a phobia, or whether you would just say, hey, I'm a human being and there are things in life that at times I fear. Then God says to you, if you know me, if you are my child through faith in the Lord Jesus, then you don't need to be afraid. And he tells us time and time and time again in the scriptures, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But he gives us the reason not to be afraid. And it's all about him. If you're dealing with fear and you want to have victory over the fear, don't look within yourself. If you're afraid and you want to have victory over that, don't look at your circumstances to deal with your fear. Rather, look to the Lord. Look to the Holy One of Israel. Don't be afraid. The Lord is here. We've already seen that the Lord is here and he stays with me. He promises never to leave or forsake. We've already seen that he shows me. He shows me who he is. He reveals himself so that I can understand the greatness of the one who says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. And then we saw that he hears me also. He's listening. And the smallest little cry of my heart that's not even audible, that I can't even put into words, the Lord who is with me and who stays with me, he promises that he hears me. And he hears you when you are afraid. Fourthly, we see that the Lord says that he speaks to us. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to take time just to read a couple of verses here in Proverbs, the third chapter, this book of great wisdom, written primarily by Solomon, the son of David. And Solomon spoke to his own son as he penned these words. Of course, he was writing them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. They are actually the words of God that were written not only to Solomon's son, not only the people of Israel, but to people of all time. And we read here in the first verse of Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. And here we have a father communicating to his son his desire for his son to obey his instruction. But we have a much bigger picture here than just a single father speaking to an individual son. We have God's word encompassed in this verse. The law of God, the teachings of God, the commandments of the Holy One of Israel, our Redeemer and our Lord. And we're not to forget those things. We're to listen to those things. And for sake of time in the context, if you will, go down to verse 24. Verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. The Lord says to you who know him, do not be afraid, because I am speaking to you. Have you ever been in a situation, I know you have, when you were afraid, and maybe it was when you were a young child, and maybe you can think back to a particular time when you were afraid, or maybe it was this past week. But you remember a time when you were in a fearful situation, and then you heard a voice. A voice speaking to you. It was a person who you knew and who you trusted, a person in whom you had confidence, and the sound of that individual's voice telling you, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Maybe you went to the doctor and you had a test, and the doctor gave you the results of the test and said, I know you were afraid of this, but let me tell you, it's going to be all right. And your fear goes away. Why? It's because the person has spoken to you words of encouragement and words of truth. And the Lord is speaking to His people through His Word, which we read in the New Testament, is always profitable. It's always beneficial. And let me encourage you, if sometimes you are reading the Word of God, maybe in your devotional time, and you're reading, you feel like, I'm not getting anything out of this. Don't let that be a hindrance to your reading. You continue to read. You ask the Lord to use that in your life. And whether or not He uses it right that moment, the Lord is speaking through His Word. His Word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And even when you're reading through a long list of genealogies in the Old Testament, and you're saying, this is the biggest waste of time that I've had this past week. No, don't look at it like that. You say, the Lord is speaking to me. I don't know exactly how He's ever going to use this. And maybe He won't use that genealogy, but He will use His Word to speak to you and to comfort you and to calm you with His voice. When you're fearful, go to the Word of God. Go to a tried and true passage which the Lord has used in the past to comfort you. Go to a scripture you've read recently. Open the Word of God and listen to the voice of God. Here in this passage in Proverbs 3, we have instruction. We have promise. We have warning. We have correction. And we have wisdom. And you can read through the passage in between what we read this morning, and you will find those things. And God is speaking to you in your fear, or even in advance of the fearful circumstance that's going to come into your life, that He might instruct you, that He might give you promises, that He might warn you, that He might correct you, and that He might give you a wisdom which will enable you not to be afraid. The Lord speaks to you through His Word. He speaks to you of His presence. Don't be afraid, He says, for I am with you, and I'm not going to leave you. Don't be afraid, He says, because I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the one who has the keys of hell and of death. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the Redeemer. The Lord tells us who He is in His Word. He tells us that He's listening, that you have His ear. He instructs you not to fear. We find in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, before the Scriptures were completed, we have the Lord sending His angel coming to Daniel and saying to him, fear not, O man greatly beloved, peace be to you, be strong, yes, be strong. And Daniel says, when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened. I was strengthened. We find the shepherds in the New Testament, again, before the Scriptures were completed, and God sends an angel to speak to them. And the angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And the Lord has good tidings of great joy for you. And He says, don't be afraid, my child. Don't be afraid. No matter the circumstance. And it doesn't mean that the fear, the thing you fear, is not real. And it doesn't mean the thing which you're afraid will happen won't happen. It may. But the Lord says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm the one who's able to take care of you. And I hear you. And I'm speaking to you. He stays with you. He shows you Himself. He hears you. He speaks to you. And He assures you. The Lord Jesus spoke to Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. And he had come to the Lord Jesus because his daughter was sick and he was afraid she was going to die. You've been there if you have children, maybe not to the point of death, but you've had a sick child, and maybe if it was your first child, they had a sniffly nose and you were convinced they might die. But they probably weren't going to die, but you didn't know because you were a new parent. But some of you have had children who have died. You've had children who have been at the point of death, and you know what it is to be like Jairus, to be afraid. And it got even worse because some people came from Jairus' house and met him as he talked to the Lord Jesus, and they told Jairus, "Don't bother him anymore. Your daughter is dead." And Jesus, when he heard that, he answered and said, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." Only believe. He assured Jairus that he could trust him. Do not be afraid. Only believe. The Lord wants us to know that when we hear His voice speaking through His Word, that we can take Him at His Word and we can put our trust in Him. And when we put our trust in Him, taking Him at His Word, we find that we don't need to be afraid. I read an article the other day, United Press, and it was concerning the government speaking to people in California. Now, the way that they would have heard this depends on their attitude about the government. But there was a concern of the radiation from the reactors there in Japan that were leaking. And because of the winds bringing that radiation and everything else toward the west coast of the United States, there was a fear that there would be radioactive problems coming from that reaching the mainland of the United States. And so the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission assured us and the people of California that neither the West Coast nor Hawaii was expected to experience harmful levels of radioactivity. And so those people in California who have confidence and who believe in the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission, they found peace. And they said, "I don't need to be afraid." Now, if they didn't have confidence, or they thought, "Hey, these people are just saying that," or they don't really know, then the fear remained. But when you have confidence in someone who tells you something, then you don't need to be afraid. And the Lord Jesus says not only to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, only believe." He says that to you. He's saying that this morning to you through His Word. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Again, He's not saying that in every situation everything's going to be okay. He was going to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, but you know what? Eventually, Jairus' daughter was going to get sick, and eventually, from some cause, she would die. And He's not telling you that He's going to make everything okay in the way that you want it to be okay, but He is saying, "Trust me. Trust me that I know what's best. Trust me to do what's best. Commit your way to the Lord," the psalmist says. "Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 say, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Peter tells us, "Cast all your care on the Lord." Why? Because He cares for you. And the Lord wants to assure you when you're afraid that you can trust Him, that you don't need to be anxious about anything, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Why? Because He hears you. The one who is with you, who is able to do beyond what you can ask or think, hears your prayers and tells you, "Don't be afraid. You can trust me." And He says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 56, verse 3, the psalmist said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." When I'm afraid, Lord, and I admit I'm going to be afraid, there are times that I'm going to fear, and I'm going to run into circumstances, and it's going to bring fear to my heart. But Lord, I commit. I'm going to trust in you. Later in that same psalm, the psalmist said, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What man can do to me?" Psalm 112 and verse 7 says that we don't need to be afraid of evil tidings. If our heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And I could go on and on with more and more verses, including when the Lord Jesus, in the midst of the storm, said to His disciples, "Why are ye fearful?" And you may know the rest of that phrase. "O ye of little faith." Why were they fearful? They weren't trusting Him. He was there with them in the boat. They had seen who He was. He had revealed Himself. And He heard them. And He spoke to them. And He assured them, "You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. Trust in Me. I am here. Have confidence in Me. Don't be afraid." Can I encourage you this morning not to be afraid? Easy for you to say, Mark. You don't have to deal with the issues I have to deal with. You don't have to face what I have to face. No, I don't. I face what I face. And I deal with what I have to deal with. And we all have our experience with those things that bring fear to our hearts. And the Lord says, "Don't be afraid." And He assures me, "Don't be afraid." He claims me. We read in Isaiah chapter 41 this morning. In Isaiah chapter 43, in the first verse, it says this, "But now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." You are mine. That's the call of the Lord to His people. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Why? Because you are mine. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And the Lord claims as His own His people. Titus 2:14 tells us that He gave Himself for us. Why? That He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. That's why He redeemed you. If you've received the Lord Jesus as Savior, He has bought you out of the slave market of sin to bring you to Himself, and He claims you as His own special people. We are His. There's a unity there between God and His people that those who are outside of Christ cannot understand. And often those of us who are in the Lord Jesus still do not appreciate that we are His. Yesterday down in Raleigh, I had the privilege of officiating our son Jordan's marriage to our new daughter-in-law, Ashley. And as we were there together as witnesses, we saw them claim each other and say, "I am yours and you are mine." And we saw them entrust themselves to each other. And as Ashley looked at Jordan and entrusted herself into the care of this man whom she loved, she's confident that he loves her. And he claimed her and he made promises to her. And every time a man and a woman come together in marriage and make those promises, there's a sense of being claimed as someone's own. And He has redeemed us. The Lord Jesus has done that. A Wednesday night when the Emmaus Bible College ensemble sang one of the songs that the trio, the girls' trio sang, "Written in Red." Written in red in the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's what Calvary said. "I love you. I love you." And that's the voice of the Lord Jesus speaking through the Word to those who know Him as Savior. And He says, "I love you and you are mine." You're mine. You're a chosen generation, in the words of Peter, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. You're special because you're His. Yes, you're unique, just like everybody else. Get that? You're unique, just like everybody's unique, right? But you're special not because of who you are. You're special because of whom you belong to. The Lord Jesus, who claims you as His own. The one who says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and have known by my own. You know, the solid foundation of God is standing. According to what Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:19, it's standing and it has this seal on it. The Lord knows those who are His. He knows His own and He places a high value on those who belong to Him. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, the 7th verse. Take this to heart. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You know what's interesting? In our opening reading in Isaiah 41, do you remember how the Lord spoke to Israel as, Israel, you worm? And isn't it true that in reality we are nothing in ourselves? But the Lord Jesus, by grace, has saved those who have come to Him in faith and has forgiven us and changed us. And He says, you're my own. You belong to me. And you're of more value than many sparrows. And not a sparrow falls to the ground. Not a sparrow falls to the ground that God in heaven doesn't know about it. And you're of much more value than many sparrows. In Matthew 6, we read those familiar and comforting words. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. The Lord Jesus says to you this morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In Song of Solomon, we read that bride, enraptured with the love of her groom, says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. She recognized that He claimed her, and she found comfort and peace in Him. And so the Lord has claimed those who are His. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you know the Lord personally, you can be confident that He stays with you. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And if He is there, you can have peace. Don't be afraid. He shows you who He is. He tells you, here I am. He displays Himself. This morning as we remembered the Lord Jesus, the theme of the Lord Jesus as the rock came up throughout our time of worship. And He reveals Himself as the rock. And we can have that confidence in Him. And He hears you. He's listening. He's speaking to you through His Word. He's assuring you that you can have confidence in Him. He is claiming you as His own. He's claiming you. And finally, we'll close this morning with the truth that He protects you. In Genesis 15 and verse 1, He spoke to Abram, the Lord did, in a vision. And He said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. You see, the Lord is your shield if you know Him. Only what He allows to touch you will touch you. Only what He allows to come into your life is going to come into your life. And even when you do something stupid, even when you make a grievous error, the Lord is able as your shield to use that circumstance into which you or I have put ourselves. And He's able to use that as our shield and bring good out even of that difficult situation. He is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. He has made that promise so we can rest in what happens to us. God has allowed it. Therefore, it's for my good. Somehow, I don't have to be afraid of what might happen, because whatever happens is going to be used for good by God, who loves me and who claims me and who is able to do whatever He chooses. I need not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He protects you. Trust Him. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head in prayer as we close this morning. I want to give you a few moments to reflect. If you want to look back up at these that are on the screen as you reflect, I encourage you to do that. Again, dealing with fear means turning to the Lord and having your confidence in Him. Just let you reflect for a moment, and I'll close us in prayer. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is the Lord of all, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And Father, we thank You that He has promised to be with those who know Him. Father, thank You that His presence with us is not dependent on us, Father, but rather dependent on His promise. Father, might we recognize the presence of Your Son with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Might we realize, Father, that when You tell us not to be afraid, You are not giving us an impossible command to obey, but You are making it possible for us to recognize Your presence and to know that You are with us and You're not going anywhere, and to understand who You are and to be assured that You hear us and that You speak to us and that we can have confidence in You, that You claim us as Your own, and that You protect us. Father, may we deal with the fear in our lives. May we face it in the strength that You provide. And Father, we pray for any here this morning who fear a lost eternity separated from You because they've never received the Lord Jesus. Father, might this be the day that they cry out for mercy and forgiveness from Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again. We thank You for Him and pray in His name. Amen. Thank you.